Should we just pray? Father, we just pray for your blessing upon this place. We thank you for your Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, you are welcome here this morning. And we pray that you'll saturate this place and saturate us with a real sense of belonging and a real sense of value and identity and purpose in life. And Lord, if everything else fails this morning, whether myself as the preacher misses this, we pray that we may take this away with us, that you love us unconditionally. And we just pray for your blessing now in Jesus' name. Amen. Always one of my favourite sayings, this. It's quite ironic, really, isn't it? You know? And I want to talk about communication and link in with the gifts as well, perhaps, in terms of teaching. And it's just nice to be with you. And I have to say, I have missed you loads. And I tell you, I really have missed the worship. That was amazing this morning. And I really do miss that. It's such a quality and a real breadth to it. It's amazing. So thanks for that. God, it's quite warm here with the sun, isn't it? I hope you're all okay and you can see me. Pardon? I'm in the light, yeah. If the sun's in your eyes and you can't see me, that's a blessing. It's okay. I won't get sunburned, will I? I'm all right. Okay. Communication. And I want to think about this in terms of our responsibility. We think about the gifts in terms of teaching and things like that. But communication, in terms of how we communicate, what God is doing in our lives, and how God is and who God is so critical and so important. And it's interesting as we think about the gifts, and I want us to take some of these things away with us today. The Bible says we all have different gifts. So every single one of us has a gift from God and a potential and a purpose in life. We read in 1 Corinthians, each person has his own unique gift. So you, this morning, are unique. You have a private gift which only you can develop for God. And it's our responsibility to develop that. And we're going to see part of that is to do with communication. We read this in Ephesians about the whole body growing. The church is organic, it is growing, it is changing, and it is developing. It's like evolution. It will never be the same. We are always thinking of how God speaks to us in different ways. And we read this in terms of the gifts and the body, the church, that it'll only grow as each part does its work. So if you're not doing your bit and you're not practicing your gift, whether that's communicating or whatever, the church won't grow as it should do. I've mentioned some of these things before. There was a guy that Jesus told a parable about who had a gift, a talent, and he hid it and he was frightened to use it. And there might be people this morning, they are frightened to use and develop what God has given them, or they might not even be aware of what God has given them. And the word for cloth, which he hid this talent in, was the word sweat cloth, which reminds us that however gifted we are naturally, and we are told in Matthew 25 that God gifts us according to our ability, so we have a natural ability and a spiritual gift, we all have a responsibility to develop it, to sweat. Gifted footballers. Gareth Bale. He's only as good as he is because he's got an amazing charismatic ability to play football, but he has to sweat. Has to develop it. And we just think sometimes that the Holy Spirit just comes in and does its business. We have a purpose and we have to develop what God has given us. And as we think, I was thinking about communication and teaching and the responsibility that we have to do this communication in life. I was thinking about the greatest communicator, Jesus, and we'll be looking at him in a moment. We read about the Holy Spirit. He shall teach you all things to remember what I've said. We read about how the foundation of the church is built up with apostles, prophets, teachers. And it's interesting how Jesus says when you go out there and make disciples, baptizing, teaching, communicating. So I'm hoping that I'm communicating to you this morning that we have to have this connection with people and so forth. But the best communicator ever was Jesus. You can think of the many titles of Jesus, and the one that's used the most in the gospel, it's completely saturated with the word teacher, master. So I thought, wouldn't it be a good idea, if we want to find out about communicating, to look at Jesus, probably one of the best communicators. Well, he probably must have been, I would have thought. Did he have all the gifts? Interesting. But he certainly knew how to communicate. So let's have a quick look at how he communicated. And first of all, one of the first things that we read about Jesus is this, that his communication was inclusive, not exclusive. Just before he went up to do the famous Sermon on the Mount, this is what we read. He saw the multitude. So when he was going to speak, he was aware that there was a crowd of people that weren't religious, that weren't tuned into church. So he was aware. And we're going to see, when he had finished the Sermon on the Mount, the people were astonished. Ordinary people, not church people. They were astonished. And we're going to look at that word astonished right at the end. And Debbie was talking about God molding us. And we're going to see it's the word where we get the word plastic. I love it when I look at Greek words. I'm useless with languages. But when you look at Greek words, there's loads of English words that pop out. And when you look at where this word comes from, it's the word plastic. And it's to do with molding. So when Jesus communicated in an inclusive way, people were molded. And we need to look at that later on. And as a result, they followed. They weren't churched, they weren't religious, but somehow Jesus communicated and connected with them in an inclusive way. And he was possibly fulfilling a prophecy when he did the Sermon on the Mount from Isaiah chapter 2. Let us go up to the mountain of the Lord. He will teach us of his ways. So lots of what Jesus was doing was fulfilling what was planned. And in our life, there's a plan, there's a purpose. And we need to walk in that way. And God wants to communicate that with you this morning. Because I believe there are people here this morning and you just feel that you're not belonging. Or you're not connected into what God is doing in your life. When Jesus was teaching, and I used to love this when I was a younger person. When Jesus went mad and turned the tables over in the temple, I thought, wow, God's got a temper. He got angry because the people weren't communicating. And you read this. The reason he overturned the tables wasn't because so much of the money, when they were changing money before the temple. It was the fact that they were excluding the lame and the blind. And when Jesus kicked the tables over, everybody got confused. And you read this, that the lame and the blind run past the temple guards. The people that needed God the most were being kept away. So Jesus kicked a few tables over. And he'll do that with us. Sometimes we'll have religious tables, or we'll have routines. And God sometimes kicks the tables over. And he comes in with his wireless Holy Spirit and says, I'm going to disturb your life so that there's less routine and I'm going to communicate wirelessly with my Holy Spirit. And it's interesting, what Jesus did when he got angry, when he kicked the tables over, was this. He did a verse sandwich. I don't know if you've ever done this, had a verse sandwich. But this is what he did. So you've got to look at what Jesus is doing, right? He took a verse from Isaiah 56. Remember, he says, my house shall be called a house of prayer for all nations, but you've made it a den of thieves. He produced a verse sandwich. Maybe there's no meat in there, but he had a verse sandwich. And this is what and you've got to look at the background of the verse of what Jesus is saying. He says this, let no foreigner say the Lord will exclude me from his people. For my house is for everyone. Because what people were saying is this, oh, we're safe. We don't want the blind and the lame. We don't want the difficult people in this church with bad histories and bad backgrounds, because that's messy. We want to keep it clean. And this is what they were doing. And this is how they weren't communicating as religious leaders of that day. And this is what got God angry. It got Jesus more angry than anything. Excluding people and saying, we're happy, we're safe, we're content. I showed you some of these photos before, and I'm sorry for repeating some of these things. And I will repeat jokes because I've noticed there's a lot of new faces. I'm sorry, but you've got to keep using it, you know? If I was a singer, you'd like me to sing songs I'd sung before, wouldn't you? I cycled past this sign last night, and I've mentioned this before. No entry, reenactors only. And in Cosmiston, they just reenact the battle. You know who's going to win. There's no risk. You're not going to die. Well, unless it's in the script. And sometimes church is a little bit like that. It's all very predictable. And in the book of Acts, God threw everything up in the air. And it was almost chaotic in some ways. And it must have been quite disturbing in terms of everything that was going on. And I showed you this photo before about a tent in the garden. Camping in the garden is safe, isn't it? If you need the loo, if you've got a problem, you just go in the house. And to be inclusive, you have to take risks. You don't know what the end's going to be. You really don't. Jesus was also relevant in the way that he communicated. He wasn't just inclusive, he was relevant. And it's interesting that he used, as he communicated and connected, the word, there's two words that are used for Jesus' teaching, and some of them are linked with an Old Testament word, and it means a trite saying or a parable. And it's interesting, it means he would say something and people would understand what he meant. A term. And he wouldn't use words that people didn't understand. And we read this, and it's very interesting, this expression. Without a parable, he didn't teach the crowd. He always had an illustration or a connection which connected people. He knew where people were in their lives, and he would always use something to connect into their lives. Because coming to church sometimes feels so distant, doesn't it? I was talking to a guy in work who was an atheist, and I said, if you came to church, what would you like to hear? He said, well, anything that's not about God, really. And I thought, well, it's a bit of a problem, you know, when I'm trying to get this guy to come to church. So I said, what about being human? And how we struggle with depression, with addiction, with relationships that have gone off the rails. And anger and bitterness. He said, oh yeah, that would help. And when Jesus took the multitudes up and spoke to the crowds on the Sermon on the Mount, he spoke about being angry and he spoke about forgiveness. He spoke about being human because God just wants us to become the best version of ourselves. And it is hard being human, but thankfully we're all human. Well, most of us anyway. But he didn't, he always connected with a picture or a parable. Hebrews 9 is a good example when it talks about the tabernacle, and it uses the word parable. Again, it's another Greek word that you read it and you can see the English word. And Paul says, or whoever, when he's writing Hebrews, says that the tabernacle was a parable of heaven. And so that is an idea, a picture. And it's the words that Jesus used. And Paul did a similar thing when he connected into people's lives. I've said this before. He used a popular song of the day, a hymn. And he quotes, in him we live and move and have our being, as some of your own poets have said, we are his offspring. And he used a popular song of the day and he connected into that. And I'm sorry, forgive me for saying this, and I've said it so many times before. I love it when I hear a song or I see a film that connects spiritually in some way. We don't realize books, films, songs, how spiritual they are. They really do. You listen to songs and you kind of turn them around and think about God. And they really do connect. And Jesus said an amazing thing. He said this, listen to the cries of the children in the marketplace. He said they come along and they play a game and they sing songs to do with funerals. And then they come along and they play a game and they sing songs in relation to a wedding. That covers the whole of life, doesn't it? Life's all about weddings and funerals and things like that. And he says, listen to what they're saying. Listen to where people are. Be relevant, be inclusive. Understand where they're hurting. Debbie told me the other day, I don't believe everything she says, but she said, The Man in the Mirror, which was written by Michael Jackson, and I thought, whoa, that's like the book of James, isn't it? Michael Jackson's song, The Man in the Mirror. And he actually wrote it with a pastor. Did you know that? It might be wrong. Not everything I say is true. Be careful what I say. But I believe that. I check it out anyway. Whatever. And I love Gary Barlow's song, If You Found God, Would You Take Him Home? Anyway, there are other songs which don't mention God. But they talk about life and struggling and connecting and so forth. And so we need to use expressions that people link into and understand. The word that's used in the Old Testament is similar, and it's Jesus used sayings and parables, two different words, how he connected into people and how they understood. And I've told you before, and I'm sorry that I'm repeating this, some of you haven't heard it. Like in the book of Genesis, the writer talks about the greater light and the lesser light. Doesn't talk about the sun and the moon, because he knew they worshipped the sun god and the moon god. So he was aware of what was going on in people's lives. So he used a specific language. I've told you the story before about a panda. Forgive me. But there are some people here that I haven't heard about my panda. That went into a bar and ordered a sandwich and a pint. And once he'd finished the sandwich and a pint, he just went nuts. And he got his guns out and he started shooting everywhere. And as he was going out the door, he spun round and he said, I bet you're wondering why I did that. And there's a few people like hiding behind the bar, looking over the counter. And he threw this encyclopedia on the bar and he said, it's a panda. It's what I do. So anyway, out the door he goes, and they're thumbing through this encyclopedia and eventually they find the word panda. And it says, panda, mainly found in China, eats, shoots and leaves. But you see, if you were there, and you obviously weren't there, you would think, that's what a panda does. So when you use the word panda, be like, oh, is a panda coming to the party? You'd be like, whoa. I don't, pandas don't go to parties, obviously. But you know that when you read, and you're from a different culture or whatever, you read eat, shoots and leaves, and you think, well, I understand now what a panda does. So it depends how and where you use words in terms of being relevant and communicating. I was talking to somebody, I was in Japan about 2 weeks ago. My word, I've never eaten so much fish in all my life. I'm sure I've got gills. And I was with a guy and we were talking about Big Brother. He had never heard of George Orwell, 1984. Hands up if you've never heard of George Orwell, 1984, the book, Big Brother. Wow, you've all, even the young people, like Dave. He never heard of 1984. And when I mentioned Big Brother to him, it was just a story on TV. That story on TV, you know, the Big Brother show on TV. I said to Grace, probably about 5-10 years ago, I think it was, I said, what does this mean? I tested it out on her. I said, what does Big Brother mean to you? And she said, Luke, because that's her big brother. So you see how we use words and how we communicate. And we have words which have associated meanings. And the word mashal is used in Isaiah for when God was judging Israel and he says, you're going to become a mashal, a byword, because I'm punishing you so much. So that when people hear the word Israel, they think, oh, that's the nation that, you know, go through hard times with God kind of thing. And I don't know if you remember this, that Cardiff became a mashal, Cardiff City at one time. You remember it was Neil from Celtic, Neil somebody. I knew Craig would have it, let's be honest. That's his religion, isn't it? Neil Lennon. He said, don't do a Cardiff. Because Cardiff were really good at getting to the playoffs and collapsing at the last minute and causing us so many heartaches over the journey. But it became a byword. So when people used don't do a Cardiff, they knew exactly what he was talking about. But Jesus' teaching wasn't just inclusive and relevant, it was always practical. It was always had a purpose to it. And you read about the gifts when Jesus ascended and he gave gifts, he did it to fill the whole universe. So it means this, to be full and fit to face life. So the reason God communicates and gives us gifts and potential is so that we will be fulfilled. It's not a case of when you're in an interview and it's kind of like, where do you want to be in so many years? And that's the standard outlook on life. But it's, where do you want to be in a few years and what type of person do you want to become along the way? Do you want to become the best version of yourself? And God's teaching is always to fill us and to make us the people that we are intended to be. The word is to be built up, to edify. It's so that we know who we are and we're confident in ourselves, because there are so many people that are messed up because of their past. We need to understand the man in the mirror. I was in church a few weeks ago and somebody turned round and said to Debbie and myself, do you think that the devil would ever use the Bible against you? And I thought, what a weird question to ask. And then I thought about Jesus in the wilderness. And the devil said to him, you're not really who you think you are you? And he'll do that with us. Beware of the voices. You're not really that good, are you, at what you do? And that marriage that failed, you'll probably never marry again. You'll never help a relationship to survive again. And these voices come. And they keep us down. I found out the other day, this is amazing, this is. Fleas, if you put them in a jar, they can jump about 10 times the height of the jar. You put a lid on there, and they keep bouncing up and down and hitting the lid. And eventually you can take the lid off and they will never outjump the lid. You've probably heard that before. Listen, did you know, I read this the other day, that their offspring will do the same. The lid off, they will never even try to go higher. They're babies. And you've got a past, and I've got a past. And it's like the devil says, well, don't jump any higher, because you know what happened with your parents. And we've all got a history. And we don't realize that God's taken the lid off. He's licked the lid. He says, lick the lid of life. Get the best out of life. Jump as high as you can. Be surprised how far you can go. The truth will set you free. And God communicates to us that our lives would be changed. Don't listen to the voices. There are people here this morning and you've got voices saying, you'll never be this, you'll never be that. Look at this, look at the past. God says, I have a plan for you. I have a future for you. And I'll build you up. And the word for the gifts that are used in the church is to prepare and to mend and to put us back together. Jesus' teaching was practical. It was provocative. He was healing somebody. He was healing a guy. And he would cast demons out. And they said, what new teaching is this? When he was healing people, they described it as teaching. And just coming back to this word, astonished. When Jesus taught in parables and sayings and mashals and all that word that we were looking at before, the people were astonished. And this is the word plastic. And it's a very interesting word. It means to sort of pound into a shape. And it's used in Revelation of the sun being smitten so hard that a third of it kind of went away. And it's also used in Romans chapter 9 about a potter forming a pot. And if you look at it, it's where you get the word plastic from. Plastic is very interesting because it can be molded into a shape, but then once it's molded, it's rigid and it's quite strong. And I love the expression when Jesus said to the disciples, "I will make you fishers of men." But just take that word, "I will make you." And what God wants to do is this. He wants to mend us, because we all need mending. And then he wants to mold us. But we have to be open and we have to be teachable. I read the other day, a bad attitude is like a flat tire. You can't go anywhere until you've changed it. You've got to be open and you've got to be teachable. And this is where we exit into our wonderful Sunday of Sunday dinner and whatever we're going to do. This is what you've got to take with you. Jeremiah says, "I saw a potter working at the wheel, but the pot he was shaping was marred in his hands." And there are people here this morning and you feel like that. But he says, guess what? I'm going to form it into another pot. But I'm going to shape it as I see fit. And I'll tell you what, when you're on the wheel and you're being reshaped, it isn't nice. But you've got to trust God and say, well, he knows the best thing. And there are people here this morning, and you're feeling the pain that you're going through in life, but God is going to do something and is doing something with you in an amazing way. When Jesus was on the cross, he said, "My strength is dried up like a potsherd." Do you know what a potsherd is? It's a piece of broken pottery that falls down at the back of the oven. And the oven goes on again. And then it goes on again. And then it goes on again. And nobody cares about this potsherd at the back of the oven that's crumbling into dust and getting drier and drier and drier. God says, "I can remake you. I can reform you. I can give you a different future." Hands up the type of people who say the glass is half full. Be honest. Thank you. Hands up who say the glass is half empty. Be honest. Some of you didn't put your hands up, okay? Depends. Well, you're all wrong. You're all wrong. Do you know what God says? The glass is refillable. I saw that on Facebook the other day. It's great, isn't it? It's refillable. And it's never over. While you've got breath in you, God says, "I can reshape you. I can mold you into the person that I've intended you to be, the best that I know and the plans that I have." So jump like a flea. Okay? And don't think about the lid. Let's just pray. Father, if our life lacks form and direction, we thank you that you can come in and reshape us. You don't want to judge us. You don't want to point the finger. You just want us to be open so that we can be teachable and mended and molded. So, Lord, we pray that we might be plastic in your hands, that you may shape us as is best for you. And not just best for you, but for us too. But sometimes we're sorry we don't know what's best. We are like children in that sense. Holy Spirit, we ask that you will fill us, not half full, but full. Thank you that we are refillable and there is hope. So we pray for your blessing now, in Jesus' name. Amen.